Hey, everybody. So glad to be with you today. And man, I know we're all well into the Easter zone right now. And that's exciting. I think there's a special buzz in all of our churches because COVID's pretty well over, the crowd's back, and people are ready to celebrate Easter. And we're praying for you and for your services, that the skeptics are going to come to Christ. The separated from Him are going to come home. They're going to come and enjoy His love. And the saints are going to have God visit their hearts in special ways. And they're going to have a deep appreciation of the worth of worship. You know, I was reading this week in preparation for the Easter messages that in the first century church, they literally used to read Psalm 22 on the anniversary of Good Friday every single year. And they would pray for healing for people. And there's just a lot of healing that would come into the church over the Easter weekend. But ironically, not on Easter Sunday morning, but on Good Friday, when they thought about the price that Jesus paid and the purpose of that price. And as people were brought into an understanding and as they gave their hearts fully to the Lord. So I think this is going to be a great Easter for you guys. And I'm excited about today's webcast. We have a really, really good friend, Pastor Alan Hickman, who's with me. And Resurrection Life, what a great name before Easter to have for your church. I just got thinking about that. But Pastor Alan, thanks for being with us.
Man, I'm excited to be here. Just glad to, this is my first webinar experience. So I'm excited to be a part.
Well, good. Well, it's your first, but it sure won't be your last. And you know, I was thinking about the title of our message today, which is Nurturing the Authentic Presence of God in Your Church. And, you know, I always tell people that if you had a mean grandma, you don't want to go to grandma's house, right? But if you had an awesome grandma, you wanted to go to grandma's house. And it's the same with the house of God. If His presence is awesome, people want to be here. And it's our job as pastors to nurture that and to help bring that to pass. So I'm really looking forward to that. Just a couple of stories before Pastor Alan teaches us and takes us through an outline of what nurturing God's presence has meant to His church, how we can do that in our own church. Today I'm sitting in a building that I wouldn't have built when the Holy Spirit chose to build it. It was 1994. And we just paid off the 30,000 square feet we have that's a high school now at the airport. And I was rejoicing in it because a fire chief in town who was a rascal had gotten saved in our church. And he gave me some trouble because we were packing it too full and he made me obey occupancy laws. But his wife prayed for him and he was unfaithful to her. I mean, she prayed and he got saved. Well, when he got his retirement check, he came and brought a tithe to me on a Sunday, and it was just enough for us to pay off that campus. And I was so happy to be debt-free. And not long afterwards, the Lord spoke to me, and He said, now I want you to build what I told you to build, and I want you to do it with what I made the world out of, which is nothing but faith. And I thought, no, you're not serious, God. And yeah. I called our leadership team together, and I said, well, guys, tell me if this is, you know, let me just tell you what I think I might have heard. And so we talked about it and we prayed over it. And sure enough, we knew God was telling us to launch. And we built a beautiful 70,000 square foot building, which the whole campus now is a little over 100,000 square feet. But this first 70,000 square feet is beautiful. And we built it for $6 million. You know what we didn't know? We didn't know construction was going to change so much after 1998. We didn't know China was going to become a superpower, and I'm not an economist, so I can't figure out all the reasons that things change like they do. But I know this, that one of my friends wanted to build this building a couple years later, and the price tag was $12 million, not $6 million. So I thought I couldn't build it at the time the Lord said to build it. The reality was I couldn't have built it if I wouldn't have built it whenever God said to build it. And that's just one example of what the presence of the Lord means. Alan.
That's exactly right. Doing it, He always does it and when we think is wrong time.
Yeah. Well, we just don't know time, but you know, after that we built a connection center. It's 15,000 square feet to connect, you know, like a fellowship hall. That's what the Baptists used to call them. But And the builder came to me and said, Jim, we're going to have to put a big old column in the middle. He said, I can't build what you want for the money you want. And he said, steel's only going to keep going up higher. And he said, I said, let me pray about it. And so he came back in and I said, God said no. I said, I don't know why, but God said no. And so then the crisis of 2008 hit. And they started, steel came down and we built it just like it was drawn up and we built it for less than he ever thought it could be built for. So God just knows things. And I look forward to talking about how to bring our church into that because there's nothing like pastoring a church that's a house of prayer for all people because of how people learn to relate to the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look forward to it. I want to first welcome the new members from this last 2 weeks in Significant Church. Pastor George Adebanjo from Nashville, Tennessee, Living Word International. Pastor George Bannister from Woodville Baptist in Woodville, Mississippi. You know where Woodville is, Alan?
I think it's north of me.
You think it is? Well, just about everything's north of you. Pastor Anthony Cooper from Shelby Life in Shelby, Ohio. Pastor Joshua Davis from Lighthouse Church, Somerset, Kentucky. Pastor Angel Falcon from Faith Alive Ministries in Central Islip, New York. Pastor Gary Martin from Jackson First Assembly in Jackson, Tennessee. Pastor Antonio Owens from St. Joseph Missionary Baptist in Tampa, Florida. Pastor Joel Rissinger from Lifeway Church in Newington, Connecticut. Pastor Keith Stevens, First Assembly of God, Moody, Texas. Pastor Jack Thomke from Mount Zion Church in Cleveland, Tennessee. Pastor Dave Truncone from First Assembly in Van Buren, Missouri. Pastor Josh Williams from Cross Point Baptist Church in Foley, Alabama. And Pastor Craig Looper from Karen Vineyard Church in Nairobi, Kenya. So we're glad all you guys are with us. And I know some of you are probably watching today, and we're so glad. Alan, talk to me about, I know a little bit of your background, but I don't think the guys all know your background. Tell me when your heart really started getting hungry for not just the structure of church and all the mechanics we deal with every day, but to have the authentic presence of God do things that helped your people live in awe of who he was.
Well, I began to understand it early on because it was God's presence that changed me. It was God's presence that spoke to me and helped me. And it was an incredible experience. And I realized he's the only one that changes people. He's the one that does things. And I just, as I began to walk it out in church, I realized my job was just to get them into the presence of God. And once he's there, then he just does whatever he does.
That's good.
He does all the things he does. I mean, I can be preaching about salvation and somebody gets convicted of tithing. You know, I mean, it's just, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit just dances around. As I grew and started just really trying to hear the Lord, just one of the things that struck me before sin entered, it said that Adam walked with God. They hung out. And I just realized that we have that ability and that right. And so I just began on a quest just to become a friend of God, you know, hear his voice and try to do what he says. So that's where my journey began.
Yeah, that's awesome because, I mean, we're getting ready to celebrate Easter, and this is my Good Friday message. The just died for the unjust to bring us to God, period.
Amen.
Why'd this happen? Why were the ribs broken? Why did Jesus endure all that to bring us to God?
Yeah.
That's simple, you
that's
know?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, so, I mean, it sounds like, of course, you were raised a pastor's kid, your dad pastor.
Yes.
And
yes, I am an ordained Southern Baptist minister. That's where I got my ordination from. And I was raised in a Southern Baptist church. But my dad, you know, he loved God with all his heart. And so it was just a natural progression, I guess.
Yeah. So you were raised in a home like my wife was, where the leader of the home, like Moses, said, God, if your presence isn't going with us, we don't want to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's right.
So help us along the journey. I've really been looking forward to today.
Okay. Hey, you know, you had talked about the presence of God in our churches. Well, they won't go where you don't go. And so I have always found that the pastors that are experiencing the presence of God for themselves and have a personal walk with Christ for themselves, they're the ones whose church seems to have the presence of God. Like, there's no doubt that you have an intimate relationship with God. I just know it. And so your church experiences the presence of God. And that's what that Exodus, 14 through 17, that's what that scripture just leaps out, that he is saying, dude, I don't want anything if I don't have your presence. You know, if I don't have you and your presence, that's what separates us. So
yeah,
that's where I want to jump in today, is talking about the presence of the Lord in their personal life first and developing that first. Showing how that looks first.
Yeah, because that's really what it's all about, being brought to God and what's it mean to be blessed, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Can I read this passage? Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. This is Moses. Now, remember the promise that God had just told him. Said, look, I'm going to send my angel. I'm going to conquer everybody. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to give you all the spoils, but I'm not going with you. And I just sat there and dwelled on that. I wonder how many pastors would take that deal. I wonder how many Christians would take that deal right now. Okay, you're going to give me all the money, all the land, everything. I'll take it. But Moses understood something. He said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And the blessing for Christians, the privilege, because I remember the prosperity gospel, it was all about money. You're not blessed unless you got money. Well, the problem with that is God was going to give him all that stuff, and he said, no, the only thing that separates us is your presence. The privilege of being a Christian is his presence.
That's good, Alan. That's good. You know, and I want to encourage pastors that if you do that, like Alan knows I'm a crazy guy. He said, man, I want to mess up your hair. And he knows I got structure and things. That's just the way I'm wired. But if you read my life plan, my number one thing is I want to be a friend of God. That's the number one thing.
Amen.
On the top of my deal. And so when I wake up in the morning, that's my first goal. It's not pastoring a church or anything like that. It's just walking in the woods and being a friend of God. And I can tell you, my oldest daughter, one morning I was walking in the woods and the Lord said to me, Tamara was 33 weeks at the time. And God said to me, she's coming quietly. She's coming. And I came to Tamara and I said, man, the Lord spoke to me. Then we were in church Sunday morning. And Tamara was praying for somebody, and the Lord spoke to me and said that woman should be praying for Tamara. So I knew. And then Tamara had pain in her stomach, and the doctor sent her home to rest. And I said, no, the Holy Spirit, something's up. So we went to the emergency room. Andrea was in fetal distress, and if we had gotten there just moments later, she would be brain damaged, could be in a wheelchair, could have been born stillborn. So the only reason I have my oldest daughter is because of the presence of God. So,
amen.
So the money and the hills, and let me take it further, my three beautiful grandchildren through her, the presence of God. But, you know, the money, the hills, the stuff, hey, the presence of God is worth more than all of it. Yeah.
Yes. I am one that has fallen in love with the voice of God. I mean, it just is so good, and we should be marked with that.
Yeah.
That's what separates us from the people that don't have the presence of God.
That's our distinguishing mark, not our curriculums, those are all good, not our worship style, not our the presence of God. Yeah.
And you're all the bells and whistles in your church and lights and all that stuff. It's the presence of God everybody's looking for.
Yeah.
It's the presence of God that everybody needs.
Yeah.
What's going to hold them is the presence of God. What makes them give money is the presence of God. It's all those things. What saves them, heals them, delivers them is the presence of God.
Good.
And that's what we need.
That's so good. That is so good. Well, of course, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So talk to us. How do we let God glorify himself through us?
Well, one of the things I wanted to, in this passage, there were three things that he promised in verse 14, 15, 16, and 17 that I just want to share. You know, the first one is peace and rest. That word rest there is to rest, to settle down, to be soothed, to quiet. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remains a rest for those who love God, for the righteous. There remains a rest. And that's part of, in this day and age, I have never seen a greater time where even pastors are fearful. Even pastors are anxious and worried and all kinds of things. And God says, if you're in my presence, one of the things you'll notice is rest. Jesus said it like this, my peace I leave with you. You wouldn't read Jesus's life. He never got shook. He never got, you know, they never got to him. You never heard Jesus say, I'm worried. You never heard that. Even when I love my favorite part of the Easter story, or one of my favorites, is when Jesus Christ was being beaten and Pilate said to him, don't you know that I have the power to set you free? And he looked at Pilate, and I can just imagine Jesus smiling through the blood and the mess and just saying, dude, you ain't got no power over me, only by my Father. You just couldn't shake him because he was constantly in the presence of his Father. That peace and rest is ours. And I would love to see pastors have that. There is such insecurity and anxiety among pastors.
Well, you know what?
I would love to see you. Go ahead.
One of the names that God gives himself, of course, I don't know if you pray this way or not, but I pray the names of God over myself every day.
Yes.
And then I wait on the one I need. You know, I wait in his presence if I need help with one of them. And, of course, we all know Jehovah Jireh. God revealed that name when he told Abraham, go to that mountain. And there's a ram, so I know God's provision will always intersect my obedience. And then Jehovah Rapha, healing. He gave him that name when they were by those brooks and the palm trees were there. And I know if I stay rooted in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to fulfill my lifespan here on the earth.
Yeah.
But then you get to Exodus 30 or 31, but God talks about the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And that's when he says that I'm the God who sanctifies you. I set you apart. And if you'll just give me time, if you'll just make room, he said,
that's right,
it'll become a memorial for you. So the best way to get your children to serve God is to make God your friend. Because if they see how good he is to you, they're not going to want to miss out on that in their lives. And that's the pastors that get fearful and afraid. David said, when I was afraid, I trusted you. So I understand that we all get, we have our momentary moments. But deep down in the core of our being, the pastors that have confidence do so because they understand that he is the God who visits us when we give him room, when we have Sabbath time for him.
That's right. And one of the things that goes right along, the next thing he says to him is, I'm going to give you my grace. And I know we've all defined grace as God unmerited favor, and I agree with that. But it's also God's operational power in my life. And what that means is, whatever he asks me to walk through, he is going to give me the grace to handle it. Man, he's saying, I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to let you. You can know that I'm going to walk you through whatever you have, whatever you're walking through. It's not the pandemic been the hardest time in the world to pastor, hardest time in my life. But yet, he says, I'll give you the grace to handle it. If you act and live in his presence, recognize his presence, give time for his presence, his grace is always there to take you through whatever you got to go through, whatever temptation you have. That's how I know a lot of pastors that fall, they're not walking in his presence because his grace will get you out of there. His grace will give you strength, but also his grace to do and handle whatever he allows to come into my life. I know I can have. My wife used to, when we had 7 boys, 9 and under, every day, she would put her feet on the floor and quote this scripture. God, I don't know what's waiting outside my door, but your grace is sufficient for me.
That's awesome.
And man, it was God's operational power.
Yeah.
And he says, my presence brings that.
Yeah. I don't know which of the old reformers said this, but he said, I'll be most satisfied when he's most glorified. And
yes,
just
Lord.
Living in that place where you wake up and you're really living for the glory of God. You're not asking to do stuff for you, but you just recognize you're in the presence of greatness. And you say, since I'm in the presence of greatness today, tell me what to do.
You know? Yeah. Come on. And, you know, the last thing, I love verse 17 in that he said, I'm going to give you found grace in my sight. And I'm on, because I know you by name. And one of the things, and I know you deal with this also, is some of the most insecure people are pastors because they're worried about losing people. They're worried about this. They're fearful of this. And people have created that, you know, in their defense. But, man, when you know he knows me by name, when he calls me by name, it says perfect love casts out fear. Fear and love cannot coexist. When I am in his presence, I feel that love, and he calls me by name. Man, insecurity just leaves. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. This is what he called me to do. You know, man, I'm not alone. That's why he says in Philippians, I remember when I had 7 teenagers in the house and they're literally eating my inheritance and eating my they're literally eating my retirement, you know, all of those things. And the Lord, I was worshiping one morning and Philippians 4:6 comes and says, be anxious for nothing. Dude, I went, what are you talking about? And he said, Alan, I got you. And man, can I tell you, We have never lacked for anything. But man, it's in the presence of God that you hear him call you by name. Peter Lord, I don't know if you remember Peter Lord.
I do, yeah.
Jim.
Yeah.
Great old preacher. I heard him say something. At first, I thought he was a heretic. I went, what is he saying? He said, if Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He said, if that's all you got, you're in trouble. And I went, what is he saying? And he said, if God hadn't called you by name, now he can use the scripture, he can use a song, he can use nature, whatever he wants to. But if God hadn't spoken to you, how in the world do you really know? Because I'm an earthly father, and I love telling my kids I love them. He knows me by name. That is so awesome to me.
That is awesome. And, you know, Abraham, like, his enemies around him wouldn't do things to him because, I mean, he had such a sense of the presence of God that even the enemies didn't want to attack him because they knew God was on his side and they didn't want to do things. And I just want to encourage, it doesn't matter, obviously, what denomination we are. I'm glad to be living in a day where all those lines are blurred, you know.
We may have a
unique theology or two that somebody doesn't agree with. But, hey, the Bible talks about how there are things to be, you know, dogmatic about and things that, you know, this is foundational. Then there are things that people see things different ways or somebody has a different emphasis in their life, and that's not a big deal. But when it comes to what we're talking about today, and that is having rest in our life, which is I wake up in the morning and it's peaceful and it's happy and my spouse is glad to be married to me and my kids are glad they're my kids. And you come to the end of the year and it's look what the Lord has done. And having God's operational ability where you can say, man, let's just talk about what God did this last year. And for a lot of people, it's easy because, you know, it's interesting, Alan, you started by talking about the land and I'll send the angel with you and I'll give you all this stuff. And Moses says, no, I don't want that. Well, the truth is some people have gotten a lot of land, a lot of money by their own skill, by their own gifting. But it just doesn't take care of every part of your life like the presence of God does. So if somebody's out there today and man, it's easy to feel stressed, to feel like there's part of your life that just isn't going right, to feel like you know that your intimacy with God should be stronger than what it is right now, I want to encourage you that even though I think we've all been there. It's just some people spend way too much time there, or some people are in a season there right now, and this message is going to help you come back to what really matters. And without him, we can do nothing. I mean, there's a lot to do once he speaks to us, but there's nothing to do until he speaks to us.
Amen. Amen. I agree. And I would love to see pastors stop looking for the latest and greatest and the next sermons and the, you know, the greatest illustrations and get back to, first of all, just having a quiet time with the Lord.
Yeah.
Personal, quiet time. I think I sent a deal. The Lord started speaking to me about a quiet time years ago. And all I ever knew with quiet time was to read a devotional, read a little scripture, and then ask God to bless my day. And man, that's not spending time with God. First of all, a devotional is somebody else's quiet time they wrote down. And so I need that time with the Lord. I need quiet time, not guys and ladies or whoever's listening. Quiet time is not studying for sermons.
Yeah.
That's your personal relationship with the Lord. I think I did, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong. I think I sent a spending time with the Lord sheet along with this. And it's just a guide that the Lord gave me. But guys, we need to disconnect from the world. You throw your phone in the car and leave it. Go spend time with God. Value God. You know, my wife keeps telling me, I want you to value our time. You know, look at me. Don't look at the phone. Don't talk to other people. Look at me. You know, yeah, I'm sure your wife says the same thing. Well, God's the same way. You know, some of you are thinking right now, I can just feel that some of you think, well, I've never had that kind of presence in my quiet time. Do you value it? Uh-huh. Is it a regular, man, I've got to value and honor his presence. I honor it by cutting off everything else for a few minutes. I got to value and honor his presence, disconnect from the world, you know. And when you do that, that's when the presence of God comes, you know, your personal worship time. If the only time you sing, and if you're a kind of church that lifts their hands, if the only time you do that is in church, then that's almost hypocritical.
Yeah.
Almost.
You know, when I first started pastoring, Alan, I heard that Dr. Cho prayed 3 hours a day. And I couldn't get an anointing after about it. I spent 2 hours in the morning. When I wake up, it takes me 2 hours from the time I wake up until I start getting ready to go to work, it's 2 hours, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I couldn't figure out what he ever did that third hour. And then I learned that he didn't do it all in the morning, but he did some in the evening as well. And about the morning and the evening sacrifice. So to me, this is what's kept me is that I spend time with God daily. I Sabbath with God weekly. And then they talked about the new moon. So that's monthly. And if I don't have a praise in my spirit for what God's up to when the new moon comes, I know I'm in trouble.
That's right.
I really know I'm in trouble. And so I just encourage, I mean, we all fight emotions, but for those that are out there saying, man, I'm just busy in the ministry. Well, we have a webinar from way back on our planning system that's archived that I think could help you, because we do have to plan our work or it's all just kind of falling on us. That's what God talked to Moses about. He said, you got to set up your organization this way or else you're going to get worn out and the people aren't going to get help anyway. So that's a whole nother skill. But if you're doing the mechanics of ministry without the presence of God strong in your life, God doesn't want that.
You're going to burn out.
Yeah.
You can't. You're going to be a hireling or you're going to burn out. There is no, you can't survive without, he has called us to do something we can't do on our own.
Yeah, and a hireling means we're serving the desires of people instead of serving desires of God and teaching people to do that with us. And that's a lot of pastors are hirelings, sadly.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And how many times has God corrected you in your quiet time? How many times has God directed you in your quiet time or gave you revelation? That's what the presence of God does. He does all those things. And so pastors desperately need to be and honor and value their quiet time. Not praying for sermons, not praying, just walk with God, spend time with him. I mean, it's so important, our prayer time, communicating with God, you know, just our prayer time, our worship time, communicate, reading the Bible. How many of us have preached, read the Bible, it helps you? Well, we don't read the Bible to help us. We are searching for a cool sermon, you know, or a cool thing. And we need to read the Bible just for us. Memorize scripture just for us, because it purifies, it strengthens. One of the greatest verses that the Bible does in my quiet time, it separates soul and spirit. In other words, God uses it to show me when I'm being a ding-dong. You know, it showed me when I am not, I'm kind of getting off in the flesh or getting religious or any of those things. And I just encourage the prayer time, the communication time, just really take time to do it. You'll be better at whatever else you got to do that day. I promise you.
Yeah. I'm a guy that really likes outlines, Alan. And the reason I do, I told the church this last night, Tamara preached a great message on Samson and how God said the boy needs a rule for his life. And she talked about how with our children that we need to teach them to believe in the strengths God's put in them. We need to teach them how to steward those strengths. And we need to teach them how to believe for satisfaction regarding what God put on the inside of them. Just a great message last night about Samson. And I got up afterwards at the church and I said, no, because I don't know how Michael's long hair got in the sermon. You know, she was talking about Samson and Michael. And then she talked about Shiner Bock beer. And if you knew my wife, me and the whole church were shocked. She mentioned the word. If it was me, they wouldn't have thought a thing. But with her, they thought this was great. So I just told him, and I said, now, for a lot of y'all, when you go home tonight and somebody said, what was the sermon about? What you'd remember is Michael's long hair and Shiner Bock beer. And I understand that because I can have that same tendency. But some of the ways we strengthen the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I just want to jump off on this because we're all different, you know. But one way for me I strengthen is meditation. I don't just hear a message, but I take that home and I think, okay, which one of my kids aren't believing in the strengths God put in their heart? They're trying to be somebody else. They don't believe they're beautifully and wonderfully made. Which one of them isn't stewarding it well? They're not nurturing the person God made them.
Yeah.
Which one of them is settling for less? They're not believing to be satisfied by the Lord. And man, when I meditate on God's word, you talk about grace helping you get into a different place.
Yes.
Meditation's used for me. The other thing for me is to try to have fellowship with people who hear God's voice. And so Alan talked earlier about how you can preach and the Holy Spirit's dancing around in the church, doing what he does. And that's why in our staff now after chapel, we actually spend time and the department leaders spend time with their employees. And they say, now in this morning staff chapel, what did the Lord say to you? They ask three questions. What did the Lord say to you? What are you going to do about it? How can I pray for you? And you really get a snapshot of somebody's spiritual life. Because
that's
I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's really good at what he does. And there are things, there are times I'm sure my wife's looking at me and she's thinking something and the Holy Spirit's talking to me about it at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's just those kind of things that when we talk about, again, I like points. If you don't have rest, it's a sign you need to nurture the presence of God in your life.
That's right.
If you feel like the dream in you is bigger than you can make happen, and you're not thankful to God for how he's making it happen when you never could have, you need to strengthen the presence of God in your life. If you feel like the eyes of the Lord are going over the earth, but he's missing me, then you need to strengthen the presence of God in your life.
And
we do it through a quiet time, and we do it with a worship time, and we're all different. My wife talks a lot. When she prays, she just does. I mean, she goes down by the woods and she has a swing and she's just down there talking and screaming. And I told her, I'm never going to see.
I'm not going to tell her you said she talks a lot.
Well, I tell her, I'm never going to see a deer because you're scaring them away when you pray. But she talks a lot. I love to listen. Man, I talk a little bit, but I just love to be quiet and I love to listen. But I mean, he guides her just like he does me, and she listens, and I talk some. But everybody's a little bit different.
That's right. That's right. And the thing is, that's why I gave them that plan. They can tailor make it for what they feel and do and know. But I felt like in my quiet time, the Lord laid on my heart or spoke to me or whatever you want to say, the story in Samuel chapter 30, you know, where that's where they came and stole all the people and all the children. And that verse, is this okay if I share this?
Absolutely. Let's do it. We got 20 minutes left and you got five great steps here. Let's get into them.
Okay. He, He said, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Then, the Bible says, then he went and prayed. Okay, what do I do? And I felt like the Lord, there are some people listening today that are just, that are overwhelmed and grieved in their soul. And I felt like the Lord said, if you'll meet with him, he'll encourage, he will strengthen you. He will be, stop looking for the answer. The answer comes after you get strengthened, after you spend the time.
That's good.
All of a sudden, wow, yeah. After I spend time with the Lord, then God, he shows me the answer, and you go, oh, yeah. But that was an incredible progression where everybody else, they even wanted to kill him. I've had people mad at me. I had never had somebody wanting to kill me, you know, wanting to stone me. But he said he strengthened himself in the Lord. And I felt like today that the Lord wanted me to share that and tell you, stop looking for the answer. I'm the answer. The Lord is the answer. His presence is the answer. Just strengthen yourself in him. Go worship. Go pray. Just spend some time. Stop praying about the problem. Stop praying about the issue. And strengthen yourself in the Lord. And then the answer comes.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you see.
You put some things on this sheet. You did send me this spending time with the Lord. And I like some of what you put up top. You said have a place and a time. Which for me,
yes,
it's my woods. That right down,
yeah,
below my house. For Tamara, it's her swing that's on the bottom of Jeffrey's old tree house. And then you,
yes,
take the Amplified Bible. I use different versions every year. One year I got one of those chronological Bibles. But I've read the Bible through it 40 times, you know. And I,
yeah,
do it. I read the whole thing through every year. And that's about 30, that's my first 30 minutes usually. And now I'm at the point where I don't read every verse necessarily, but I come to a story. And I just try,
yeah,
to say, Lord, speak to me from this story today.
Come on.
So I read it, yeah, different than I did 40 years ago. But then I like a journal because it really does,
yeah,
encourage you to look back at the times the Lord spoke. It makes you hungry to hear, yeah, him because you realize how valuable.
I started studying all the great, just giants of our faith. And one of the common things was they all had a quiet time, but they all journaled. They all wrote down.
Wow.
What God was saying, what their thoughts, their fears, they all journaled. And if you notice on that list, I talk about Thanksgiving first.
Yeah.
And then I talk about praise. Thanksgiving, we got to start out with Thanksgiving and praise. See, most of our quiet times, we go right to our needs. And the Bible says, enter his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his court, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Wow. I'm getting closer. Worship is not for God. It's for us to begin to purify our minds so we can hear him and be with him, you know. And we go right to the needs when that doesn't cultivate a relationship. If I did that with my wife, okay, Amy, you got to pick up this kid this time. I got to do this. I got to do that. And that's the only communication we had. And that's the way we treat God.
Yeah.
We only talk to him about our needs and what our plans are. God bless my plan.
Yeah. And last night I told the people when Tamara got done, I said, what do you do when your internet connection goes out in your house? I said, it's not a pretty sight. It's not pretty. I said, but you know what? We've been conditioned by our culture to let the God connection and the people connection go out in our homes. And that's not a good thing. You know,
wow.
It's one of those things. It doesn't matter how many verses I have up in my head if my heart's feeling distant from him.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, that's one of the reasons the third step there is the word I want to break down and see, you said, you talked about meditating. One of the things I do every time I hear somebody preach, I take notes, but I make sure I write down the scriptures. And then I go back in my quiet time and I study those scriptures, you know, that I heard, and I break them down. And one of the greatest things the Lord helped me learn to do was rewrite it in my own words. You know, I rewrite the scripture. What is it saying to me? That's when God becomes personal.
Is that why I heard you preach one of my sermons and it sounded better than when I preached it? Because you took it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Have we got time for a quick story?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was doing that with Revelations 4:8, where it says, "Bless the God who was and is and evermore shall be." And I had spent time in thanksgiving. I had spent time in worship and praise. Then I went to his word. A man preached a sermon about, you know, it was a totally different subject. But I was breaking down that. And as I was breaking down, the Lord started speaking to me and said, "Alan, do you believe that I am forever?" "Yes, yes, you are forever." "Alan, do you believe I am love?" "Yes, it says in your word, God is love."
Good.
He said, "I have loved you forever." And I cannot, Jim, I cannot tell you. I wept for hours. The love of God overran me. And it was out of his word. They just over. I set the stage, but man, you don't want to miss. Just study His Word for you.
Yeah,
and let God speak to you.
And I think this is the principle, Alan. Is when God chose who was going to take over after Moses. You remember who He chose? It was the one who did exactly what you're talking about.
That's
Moses
right.
would meet with God in the tent of meeting. And then when Moses was done and he felt like God said everything that needed to be said, Joshua would just stay in there. And he would just spend time in the presence of God. And think about it, because I'm speaking to a lot of leaders, primary leaders today. Who do you want to take over? Do you want, I think about when Jesus was going to Jerusalem and James and John said, "Hey, can we sit in your right hand on your left?" To me, that's kind of like saying, "Hey, can we take over?" And, you know, there could have been a power struggle, right? Peter could have said, "Hey, none of y'all walked on water. You don't have the faith I have."
Yeah.
So I think I should lead. And then Thomas could say, "Yeah, but I'm the sharpest knife in the drawer. I think things through. I think I should lead." And then James and John could have said, "Well, our dad built the biggest fishing business. I know the most about leadership. I think I should lead." And you know, I think it was Nathaniel. He could say, "I got a military background. Those Romans going to fight us. I think I need to lead." But Jesus said, "No, none of that." He said, "Servanthood, serve God, serve people. That's what leads. Just serve God. Wake up, hear God's voice, serve people."
Yeah.
That's who needs to be in charge. And the other stuff really just gets us in trouble. And you know, it's sad. This sounds so simple to me today. But the reality is, my spirit, I don't know if it's because I live in flesh, I don't know if it's all the stuff we fight in the world, but it's not easy to wake up secure every day. It's not easy not to get half a step in front of God. It's not easy to run from temptation, like you said all the time.
That's right.
You really need to live at rest and know His value of you, and to know that if you ever did sin and you ever did really mess up, His heart would be hurting more for you than the work that you hurt, because He'll get somebody to do the work, but you just hurt yourself.
That's right. That's right. And I want to say this real quick. You are not what you do.
Yeah.
So many pastors find value in being a pastor. And then if we find somebody with a bigger church, we feel less valuable. Man, we are valuable because we're His child. Period.
Yeah.
And then we do the family business. And so, you know, that next section there on prayer, it says, then after I do the word, after our Thanksgiving, praise, the word, then I take time to do, to pray. I pray about the things that I need, or I pray and ask the Lord, cultivating a relationship with Him, you know. And part of prayer, the last one that's on that list, you know, is one of the things the Lord has really taught me. What's on my heart might not be what's on His heart.
Yeah.
You know, and so I have learned to just stop and be quiet and say, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me today? Is there anything on your heart? And I can't tell you how many times somebody has popped into my mind right then, or an answer, or a feeling, or correction. Those that He loves, He corrects. Or, you know, that's when, I don't know if we got time for this, you know, the story of the donut at Walmart. You know, it was right there that God corrected me about eating that donut and not paying for it, you know. And so that's what we have got to take time. We are in the supernatural business. Salvation is supernatural. And one word from God can break down everybody's walls. So I want you to just be aware and know that God wants to have a relationship with you and wants to speak to you and wants to encourage you today.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I've been walking with the Lord now since July 30th, 1977. That's when I gave my heart to Him. I wasn't raised in a home like my wife was, or like Alan was, where my parents knew God. I was raised in a moral Catholic home that taught me right and wrong, taught me being a good person was going to pay a lot better dividends than making a lot of bad choices that I'd have to get healed from. So I thank God for that. But I didn't know who God was. And at 17, when He started talking to me about building the church for my friends, where they would get God, I mean, I thought, well, you got the wrong choice. I mean, I'm here at ORU trying to play baseball and Bible surveys. My hardest class. Who in the world would name their kid the names those kings have? And I got to remember them for a test. I mean, that's crazy.
But it's hard.
I would have never thought that God would have picked me to be doing what I'm doing today, ever. But I can tell you, in His eyes, you know, He knew that America was going to be walking away from church. And that's right. When I understood when I got in the pastorate, I get it now, that I'm called to help people not walk away from church. And I'm called to bring them to God. And, you know, this thought has me consumed for Easter, that Jesus died the righteous for the unrighteous. Most Christians would say to bring us to heaven, right? Most would say, why did Jesus die?
That's right.
So I can go to heaven, right? Not in what Peter wrote. He said, He died the just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. If we don't have the joy of the presence of the Lord, we miss the whole purpose of the price Jesus paid.
Man,
that's what prayer is about. Prayer is about enjoying the price that Jesus paid for us to be in the presence of God.
Yes.
Alan, that was great today. So the five steps, I'm going to repeat them, and then I'm going to let you share any of your last thoughts. And for a lot of guys, they know some of these things. But what I've learned for myself is, number one, just the best taquito I ever ate was the last one. And I just got to keep eating. That's how I keep myself strong. I keep eating. And the other thing is, anything that gives me two or three thoughts that I wasn't thinking, that's how I grow. If you're looking, this was a great, great webinar. But the thing that I want to encourage guys is, Peter said, I'm saying this to remind you. I need reminded all the time, you know. And then when I'm around somebody and I give myself to things like this, which I call this our lunch appointment. I bring somebody that, man, if they were in town, I'd want to have lunch with them. And then what we do is we all just bring our lunch and we have lunch together and we talk and we share about things. And when I'm around Alan Hickman, one of the things that I always leave with is I leave hungry for the presence of God. because he carries the presence of God well in his life. And just to reiterate, okay, so when I'm around Alan, why does he carry the presence of God like that so well in his life? Well, because it's about Jesus more than the stuff. That's the foundation of it. It's about Jesus more than the stuff. And he knows the value of rest. He knows the value of grace. He knows the value of intimacy with God, where God knows us by name. He honors God's presence through his quiet time and through his worship and his prayer time. And then, you know, you gave us logistics and some steps of thanksgiving, praise, study the word, pray, and just listen at the end. Alan, do you have any doubt that if somebody wants to cultivate the presence of God in a way that they're more grateful for it and their whole church is more grateful for it, do you have any doubt that if they do that, that it's not going to work? Any doubt at all?
Not one bit.
Yeah.
Not one bit. People are drawn to the presence of God. Don't stop worrying so much about getting everything perfect and just carry the presence with you, and people will be drawn to it. They can't help it. They want the presence of God. They want something real.
Yeah.
And I just encourage you, be real. Be real.
This would be a horrible profession to be in. If you start being plastic, you're done.
I can't imagine doing this job. I have found that the Holy Spirit is a real asset to my ministry.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. That's like saying that Tom Brady was the, you know, he wouldn't be a bad guy to have quarterback in your football team.
Hey, yeah, that's right.
Only that's right. Obviously the Holy Spirit's way beyond that.
Isn't it amazing that we always put that last?
Yeah.
That's the first thing that gets sacrificed. And it should be the last thing that gets sacrificed.
Yeah, that's not good. Well, Alan, I'm going to have you pray for us. And just to let you guys know, we're going to talk in 2 weeks. And the topic's going to be on developing discipleship communities in your church. One of the things we're all fighting as pastors is that I remember in 2001, I think it was, Ron Luce had his event in the Superdome in Detroit. And he's been a friend since college, so we went up to support him. And I had a chance to have lunch with Jack Hayford. And there were about four of us. And one of them asked Pastor Hayford, he said, how do you see ministry being different for us than it was for you? And Pastor Hayford said, well, he said two things. He said, number one, he said, when I started ministry, when you taught the Bible, people assumed it was true. He said, you guys aren't going to have that luxury. He said, the second thing is, when I pastored and you preached, he said, the parents took care of it after that at home. And he said, you guys are going to have a harder time and you're going to have to figure out how to build discipleship communities within the life of the church. So I'm looking forward to talking about that here in a couple of weeks. And once we get done with our Easter service, I know we're going to look at all these people and we're going to think, okay, how can I bring them in to where they value the presence of God? Right. Value the whole discipleship process. And it's going to take community. John said that. He said, I write to you fathers. So we've got a bunch of little babies out there who really need you. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. Alan, closing word and a prayer?
I want to encourage them today. If you're overwhelmed and just tired, I cannot tell you how the presence of God and just spending some time with him, it affects me physically. So can I just pray for you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you right now just to let them hear your call. You love them, Daddy. You love them. God, you are with them. God, I just pray they'll recognize it. God, I pray that they'll lay down all the demands and just say, I got to get this one thing right first. God, I pray you'll encourage. There are people that are discouraged right now. God, there are people that are just wondering what to do. I pray that you will visit with them with dreams and visions. I pray that your grace will be with them. And God, I just ask you to do something special in their life. I pray you'll encourage them in their families. God, I pray for their children. God, bring prodigals home, Lord. God, I pray that they will lay down anxiety and grab hold of love. They'll lay down the fear and just embrace your love. And God, let them know you are with them. I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Alan, thank you so much, bro, for taking an hour to bless all of us. Really been a blessing to my soul.
Truly was my pleasure.
Well, it was our pleasure. And I appreciate all you guys who put stuff on the chat. I love this from Mike Ewalt, that the answer to exhaustion is intimacy with God. I think that's awesome. That's a great phrase right there. And so I'm praying that these next 10 days, because Easter shall be over here in 10 days, I'm praying this is the most exhausting, fulfilling, thrilling time of your life because of the intimacy of God. And we'll be praying for everybody's churches. Love you.